Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are joined by David Rubenstein, who's hosting the new show History with David Rubenstein, premieres July 3rd on WETA and PBS. Hey, thanks so much for joining us, David.
My pleasure to be here.
Now, I know you've previously done, you know, the Rubenstein show, peer-to-peer conversations, but how did the concept for this new one come about?
Well, I started interviewing people who are historians at the New York Historical Society a few years ago, and ultimately they decided to start a series called History with David Rubenstein, where I interview great historians about their books or people who've been important figures in history. And so now they have taped them, and I think a number of them are now going to be shown on WETA in Washington area.
Awesome. I have the list of the guests if you want to run through them really quick, just sort of one at a time and you know, why you thought they were so worthy of conversation. Starting off with, of course, Cokie Roberts. I mean, that's going to be a touching one. What was so great about any memories of, you know, from your combo with her?
Cokie was a longtime friend of mine. I interviewed her about her three books that she wrote about women and their role in history. And clearly she knew the subject well. And although many people think of her as a correspondent, an interviewer, she actually was a very, very gifted writer and a writer about history. So the fact that she passed away not too long ago makes it much more emotional to watch this.
For sure. And I think episode two is Michael Beschloss. Is that say that right?
Yes. Michael Beschloss is one of the nation's best known historians about the presidency, certainly. And Michael has been writing about the presidency for his entire career, and I interviewed him about the presidency and particularly about a book he has called Presidents of War.
And the next one needs no introduction, the well-known Doris Kearns Goodwin. What all did you guys talk about?
Doris Kearns Goodwin, of course, is one of the best-known historians in our country, and I interviewed her. I've interviewed her about many different books, but this particular interview was about her book on Teddy Roosevelt and the relationship with Teddy Roosevelt and William Howard Taft.
Awesome. Yeah, a great writer, Pulitzer Prize winner, and I know, you know, the movie Lincoln was off of her thing with that, and so it'll be cool to hear you talk about her her Teddy bio. And then we have Ron Chernow, of course, the Alexander Hamilton biography, which has blown up into a smash musical and the rest. But tell me about that interview.
Well, this interview is about his book, most recent book, which is Ulysses S. Grant. And this book he wrote after Hamilton. Actually, he wrote the many books, one about George Washington, which won the Pulitzer Prize. Hamilton book, of course, is best known. But the Grant book is, like those other books, extremely well written. And although they're long, you can't really put them down. And so this is about that interview. This interview is about that book.
Awesome. And then we have the former Harvard president, Drew Gilpin Faust. What all did you guys get into?
Drew Faust, before she became president of Harvard, and she was president of Harvard for about 11 years, she wrote a book called The Republic of Suffering. It deals with an incredibly unfortunate situation that during the Civil War, it turns out, where about 600,000 men and women were killed, there were terrible problems about what to do with the bodies because they had never had this much death in any one place before. And so where do you bury them? Union soldiers couldn't be buried with Confederate soldiers. White soldiers weren't buried with black soldiers and so forth. Officers weren't buried with enlisted men. So how do you identify the bodies? Can you tell the family how their death occurred? It was a complicated situation that she went through the agony and the macabre sense of what happened at that time.
That's going to be cool. All right, and then next, Andrew Roberts.
Andrew Roberts wrote a one-volume, maybe the best one-volume book on the life of Winston Churchill. It was a bestseller last year and had a chance to interview him about Winston Churchill's extraordinary life. And in the United States, we have a high regard for him. We made him an honorary citizen. It's often hard to believe that he didn't become prime minister the first time until he was 65 years old and then led Britain through the war and later became prime minister again when he was close to 80.
Yeah, that's insane. All right, Jill Lepore is next.
Jill Lepore is a Harvard professor and a terrific historian. She wrote a book called These Truths, and it is the first comprehensive encyclopedic book of American history written by a woman. It turns out that most of these encyclopedic books of American history have been written by men. but she did an incredible job. It's quite a long book. It's almost 900 pages, if I recall. But it's a terrific look at it, and she brings a different perspective to it than men typically bring to encyclopedic histories of the United States. So it's quite a good book.
That's exciting. All right, and then the next episode is Robert A. Caro, Pulitzer Prize winner.
Robert Caro is a man who has now devoted 35 years of his life to writing about Lyndon Johnson. He wrote a book that is considered by some to be one of the best books ever written about a politician or a biography, which is the book that he wrote about Robert Moses called The Power Broker. That took 7 years. This one has now taken 35 years. He's come out already with several volumes. This is the final volume he's working on, which is Lyndon Johnson's life as president. But I also interviewed him about a book he wrote about what it's like to be a historian and kind of his life as a historian. And this interview is to some extent about this new book that he's written about, which is not Lyndon Johnson, but it's about what it's like to research Lyndon Johnson's life and Robert Moses' life.
Gotcha. And then the next is a name a lot of readers will recognize, Walter Isaacson. So many biographies we've loved.
Yeah, Walter has written incredible biographies of people. Obviously, maybe the most famous was Steve Jobs, but he had great books on Benjamin Franklin, a great book on another person, a book called The Innovators, which is what I interviewed him about here to some extent, all the people that helped lead the revolution that led to the internet and so many of the technologies that we deal with now. But his book on Einstein, his book on Benjamin Franklin, his book on Steve Jobs are spectacular books, and also his book on Leonardo da Vinci, which is another spectacular book. So I've interviewed him about all of them, and I covered a lot of that in this interview.
That's great. Yeah, that Steve Jobs biography is one of my favorite biographies I think I've ever read, so that's going to be exciting. And then wrapping it up, you have Douglas Brinkley.
Douglas Brinkley is a great historian about the presidency. He's written a large number of books. This particular interview was about a book called The Moonshot, which is the race to get to the moon that President Kennedy launched early in his presidency. And it's about how complicated the effort was to get there, how very few people actually wanted President Kennedy to do this, and how ultimately it occurred when Richard Nixon was president. But that occurred in 69. Obviously, Kennedy didn't live to see it, but he made it possible to get us there.
Great. Now, I mean, that's a lineup right there. If you ask me, these are all great writers, great minds too, great historians. How do you go about preparing for each one of them? I mean, I assume do you read the biography in full right to prepare for it, or had you already read many of them?
In preparing for an interview, I always read the book. I think it's a courtesy to read the book, and so I do read it. And then I write down questions that I would like to ask, and then I kind of over the course of a week or so kind of memorize the questions. And so I do it without actually having any notes in front of me. I think it makes it look more like a conversation. And so I think it works out pretty well that way.
Great. And then take me just a little bit more into the logistics. Did you – was this all pre-COVID, you know what I mean? Or were these all – you know, where did you guys film them?
Well, these were pre-COVID. Typically, they are done in one of two places, a studio that WNET in New York has, a public television broadcasting station in New York. Some of them were done there with no live audience, but most of them were done with a live audience at the New York Historical Society in its main auditorium.
Okay, cool. Well, that sounds great. I got plenty to work with. But before we go, you know, tell our listeners maybe a little bit more about yourself and your background. I mean, you know, we see you at the Kennedy Center Honors every year, and, you know, you're very involved with, you know, tons of things in the D.C. community. But, you know, maybe some listeners that maybe don't know, you know, where'd you grow up and that sort of thing?
I'm from Baltimore, and I went to college at Duke and law school at the University of Chicago. After a few years of practicing law in New York, I came to Washington, worked on Capitol Hill, but then I worked in the White House for President Carter for 4 years, stayed here, practice law. Then later I started an investment firm here called the Carlyle Group. And now I'm still part of Carlyle, but I also involved in a number of philanthropic things. As you mentioned, the Kennedy Center, I've been the chair of that for about 10 years. And I was the chair for a while of the Smithsonian. I'm very actively involved with the Library of Congress and with the National Archives and with the National Gallery of Art, where I'm also on the board. And I try to spend a fair amount of time on philanthropic things in this region, because this is where I raised my family. This is where I live.
That's great. And, you know, how exciting has it been, you know, putting on all those Kennedy Center shows, not only the Mark Twain Prize and the honors, but, I mean, you've had so many legends come through those doors for that. But then also, you know, just speak to, this is going to be a little bit of a different year. I mean, it's hard to predict how this reopening in phase 2 and 3 and all this going to go. But are you guys just sort of in wait and see mode on whether you can roll out a red carpet at a time when people can't really gather?
Well, we have to be guided by what the laws are in the District of Columbia, really. And so we're waiting for the mayor to make decisions about what phase we can go into. Clearly, it will be difficult to do very, very large events in the very near future. So I think that we will probably make some announcements soon about that. But we have the ability to let people tour the Kennedy Center at some point when that is possible. And we will probably have some smaller productions and other things in the reach where smaller crowds can gather, and it makes it possible to do that. And then we have the outside area. So in the outside area, of course, that's much safer to be involved with. But until we have much greater guidance about what the health situation is, it's true of all performing arts organizations and facilities, it's very difficult to have very large events.
Yeah, it's a little too soon to tell, too, for some of those fall things. But, I mean, if worse comes to worse, are you guys, you know, let's say there's some second wave or something, are you guys thinking maybe, is there a way you're going to do it? Could you do it virtually, like the PBS shows for the, you know, Memorial Day and 4th of July? Or is it something where you would maybe skip a year? Or have you guys even thought about that?
Well, we think about it all the time, and we're working on it now. And I would say we haven't come to a final decision about the best way to do it, but there's no doubt that we do look forward at some time to having the Opera House and the Concert Hall and the Eisenhower Theater filled again and having people there who feel safe when they're there. And that's what we care about the most, make sure everybody's safe. And we're working very hard on it. Deborah Rutter, the president of the Kennedy Center, has done a really good job of trying to balance all the considerations. But right now, we are not in a position to have large events, of course, nor is anybody in the country.
For sure. All right. Well, then just bringing it back all the way around, you know, why should our listeners tune in? Give them the little pitch.
History is important because if you don't know the mistakes that have been made in the past, you might make them again. That's the reason we study history. And so when we learn about great people in the past, we're really learning about things that they did right and wrong and that things that we can learn from. Sadly, in this country right now, we don't teach history very much. We don't teach civics very much. The result is that very few people can actually pass a basic citizenship test that foreigners have to pass in order to become U.S. citizens. Foreigners who want to take the citizenship test, 91% of them pass the test. You have to take 10 questions. You have to get 6 of them right, and 91% pass. Recently, a large survey was done of native-born Americans. More than 25,000 native-born Americans were tested, and in 49 out of 50 states, native-born Americans could not pass the basic citizenship test that foreigners have to pass in order to get into this country as citizens, and that test basically is civics and history. So it's we have a long way to go. So if somebody watches these programs, they're not going to learn everything you need to know about history, but it might whet the appetite to do two things. One, read the book that is being talked about, which is good, and books are a good thing to read. They really focus the mind. And two, learn more about history and learn about other important people and important events and maybe read other books. So I do think that this is important. I try to do this as well with members of Congress. Up until COVID, I had a program where I interviewed once a month a prominent historian in front of only members of Congress. And last year, I came out with a book that described a lot of these interviews. And that book was called The American Story. And I will have a book coming out of my new interviews done not just about historians, but about prominent people like Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or Warren Buffett or Oprah Winfrey. That book is called How to Lead, and that comes out in this September.
Awesome. That's great. We look forward to those. But first, check out the history show on PBS, WETA, on July 3rd. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.